Next bit of tape is Ulf Moll on the 16th of January 2006. Right, Ulf, you're going to tell me something about your memories in Kidderminster during World War II.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I was born in Robin Hood Yard in Ogmore Road.
Yeah. Know it well, yeah.
Yeah. Then I went to Coach Road.
Coach?
Coach. C-O-A-T-E-S.
Coach.
Castellodium.
Oh, okay.
Then I moved into Lawn Street in 1938. I was there until 1957. The first memories of the war is the actual declaration of war when we were listening to a radio, because my father and mother called us all to hear this, and the announcement came, and I can remember my mother saying, "Explain as it was yesterday. Thank God my sons are too young." And we obviously didn't understand the implications. We didn't really, after the war, when you began to realise that when we'd been children, there was a lot of aunties about. People became aunties because they had no family of their own. They were brought into the circle of everybody's family. I mean, they had two aunties, Flo and May. I'm actually named after her husband, Flo. His name was Alfred. He was killed in the war. May's boyfriend was killed in the war. So they grew up without a family. And somehow or other, they got tacked onto our family. In fact, there's another person who still comes out with me now who got tacked on as well. Then the first real amount of war we saw was, I lived in the 120, which was out from here in Lawn Street. And the back of the house was three stories. And out of the back window, I could see across, right over the houses, because I was following all the houses round. And when the bombing started, of the Black Country, Birmingham and Coventry, I could actually see the fires burning. By then, we were getting a bit blasé, us children, because you'd listen to the engines when the sirens went, and you listen to them coming out, and you say, "Well, they're not coming to us, they're going past us." So you went on playing, which was decidedly dangerous, because, you may or may not know, there was a lady in B Street killed with a nose cone. And we very often picked up shrapnel and lumps of metal which came falling from the sky.
Yes.
We all used to collect it, didn't we?
Yes.
But you probably did the same thing yourself.
No, I didn't. No, a lot of people have told me about this. Yes.
And then we used to have daylight nuisance raids, they used to call them, when two or three, sometimes four bombers, would suddenly appear and do a low-level run across the area and pick out some unfortunate area and drop their bombs and sneak off again. The case of that was the bombing of Kidderminster. My pal, my wife, was in the garden of George Street, number 6. They were sat in the deck chairs up the garden, and my pal says, "Look, they're dropping sausages from their airplanes." And her dad grabbed her and her sister and raced down into the cellar, calling the next door neighbour who used to share their cellar, because they were great friends. And so my wife actually saw the bombs coming out of the airplanes. Didn't realise what they were, of course.
Yes, it was one of the daylight raids, wasn't it?
Yes.
So a lot of people saw them.
Yes.
That was the one, I think, that dropped on
Agra,
top of her road.
Yes. We as children used to go around, but after it got to about 42, beginning of 43, camps were built around here, Burlish, Wolverley, Bromgrove. We already knew about the Archibald, we used to cycle around. But a lot of people didn't know that a lot of the woods around here were storage depots. Axford Lane, Pettiford Lane, all had armoured vehicles up against the edges with netting over them. There were soldiers living in the woods looking after them. Beresford would be here.
That's Beresford, that's Beresford, B-E-R-E-S, is it? I haven't heard of that.
They had armaments in there. It's never a paintball place. You can still see some of the original buildings.
Can you?
Yes.
In Beresford Wood?
Yes. At the side of the place that was used to be for repairing the vehicles, which used to have a big gantry out for taking the engines out of the vehicles, that's now a horse stall place. And if you go a little further on, there's still one of the old army huts still there.
So where's Birchford Wood then?
You know, you go along to...
Because I'll go and photograph that sometime.
Do you know where Blackdale is?
Yes.
You know where Bedford Lane is, where you turn left?
I don't know very well.
No, it's just before Blackdale.
Before Blackdale?
Yeah. Before you come to the bridge. There's a left turning and a right turning.
Okay, the right turning takes you to Amplets. Oh.
Yes, it does, yes.
That's Birchford Lane, is it?
Yes.
Under the railway, under the choo-choo bridge.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
And that's where we used to play it in Amplets.
So it's in that wood on the
right-hand side.
What we used to call the Red Riding Hood, because we used to walk, as a little kid, we used to walk past it.
That's it. And the building is still there.
In the middle of the wood?
Well, you can see it from the road.
You can see it from the road, can you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't need to go into the woods. Well, you can't go in the woods now. It's private property.
No, well, I think it always was, isn't it?
But everybody used to go in it. I don't know how
well. Yes, children used to go in there.
Yeah. But I mean, we used to go and catch sweets off them all the way down these lanes on it, because we only had one bike between us.
Yeah.
So we, just take turns riding it. Because I have a little sister and my little sister was 18 months younger than me, and my next little sister was 18 months older than me. So we, If I walked out with Georgie Dukes, who was born in 38, died last year, because he lived at 111 months, did he?
111?
No, just 11.
Oh, just 11. Okay.
Yeah, which is almost.
Yeah.
Well, it was almost opposite, he beat him up, which was 110 from the other way. I mean, we had in-laws, we had the Pages, fish and chip shop people.
Yeah, I remember the name.
Yeah, then there was the Carpenters, there was us, there were the Rathbones, the Weavers, the Scots, the Parkers, Mrs. Harris at the shop.
I mean, I didn't know people in Wall Street.
Jeffords was a shop, Wells's was a shop on Lee Street. We had three lots of Mumfresses, Lawrence Pritchard's, Rose's, oh my, daughter's married to the grandson of, and Gorfankel's, Wagstaff's, Arnold's, Edwards, Davis. My own sister now lives in the next but one to her, because she still lives in Lawrence Street. And Rowlands's, T.J. Rowlands, was the minister of the church.
Okay, yeah.
He used to work at Huckleberry, because he said...
Up the
rough place. Yeah. Same with my eldest sister. And other photograph that you sent me on 1945, Betty Edwards, and I can't remember what her surname originally was, because she married Ken Edwards. The reason she wasn't on that photograph is Ken came home on leave.
Oh, okay.
And they were having a private party.
Yeah. For him to come.
Yeah. Because he only lived 2 doors away from the party, so in actual fact, I can remember being sent from the church to go and get a jar of jam from Mrs. Alice's to put on the sandwiches. Because you didn't have bread and butter sandwiches like you do now. You either had bread with margarine on, bread with jam on.
Yeah,
you didn't have both.
The very hard margarine, wasn't it?
Yes,
very yellow.
Yes.
You had to melt it.
Melt it almost to put it on your bread. Yes. And the next way the war affected was when my brother was called up in 45, early 45. Actually, I went with him to the station to pick his girlfriend back, to be perfectly honest. He was here this morning. And then we said goodbye. And then end of May, beginning of June, it went deathly quiet from him. There was no letters or anything coming. And my brother was quite a good letter writer, so my father, being an ex-soldier, said they're in a closed camp and not being allowed to. So he said the invasion can't be many weeks away. Then one morning, because I used to do my papers, I woke up, I could hear a noise from Chester Road. So I was getting up to go and deliver my papers anyway. And as I came down the stairs, because my dad was lucky, he was a warden. And the fish and chip shop in Long Street was a warden's hut in that day. And I said, there's a noise from the Chester Road. He said, go round and have a look. And I went round onto the main road. And there in the middle of our main road were military police directing two columns of traffic straight down Chester Road. And it went on for hour after hour after hour. In fact, I had to go through it three or four times on my paper route.
Yeah.
But when I saw my father again, I told him, because he always used to call on my Mick. His name was Emily, but he always called her Mick. Mick, our lad's moved. He's on the boat, he's going. And I said, how do you know? These are the backup troops. So we went round the edge rows. All the rest of it, the troops were attaching their stuff to the vehicles and moving out.
Okay.
You were going to Utrey Road, and what's the train after train of tanks and lorries, guns, they poured down there. In actual fact, some of us even went and sat on the board that bridge to watch them. They'd have murdered us if they ever boarded us. But we went to see
the big martyr.
Yes. Yeah, we went up the embankment, seeing you could see.
Wait, I know you could.
You probably went up there as well. And when the trains were running, used to walk across the little crosses on this Worcester Road. And then the next bad event was the ambulance trains. Because in those days we had 14 or 15 end of track roads in the pleasure. And they used to reverse the ambulance trains up to those and load the wounded in and take them to the various hospitals around here.
Burlish.
Warbley. At Bromsgrove.
Bromsgrove.
Where my son was born.
Was he?
Yeah, I mean, it was still there as an hospital.
At Bromsgrove?
Yeah, still there now.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know about
that. Well, that and there was, I mean, that was bad. I mean, that was, you know, for people, those poor fellas, I mean, they were being dragged off the beaches,
yeah,
chucked into landing craft,
to bring back.
And brought straight back, and they were still dressing them, those on the way. I mean, they were being treated extremely quickly, really.
Yes.
I mean, in some of the wars we've had,
left till 2 days later.
Yeah, my ex-partner, because I run a business with a friend of mine, well, I very seldom run it after he died, but he'd been on a ship, one of the former gun ships, and he was in the RAF actually, and he was a spotter for them, and he got blown off the ship on morning of D-Day. And next thing he did, he woke up in the hospital in Devon, where he met his wife, and Joy's still alive. I mean, he said, I saw nothing of the war there. He's been in Malta and all this sort of thing, and been all through that lot.
Yeah.
He said, we've all seen there. He said, there were thousands of ships. He said, next thing I knew, I can remember it in the water. He said, but after that, he said, nothing. Badly damaged his left leg. Well, even when he died, the bone was sticking out the side like that.
But still?
Yeah, there was no way they could put it back together in those days. It's not like it is today.
No, they can do all sorts of things.
I mean, that was the first time penicillin was used on the beaches at Normandy.
Yes, it was. You knew them, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Alpha, some we used to call it. We used to get even when I was in the army, we used to have a little cotton. Like a pepper shaker. You get a bad wound, shake it off.
Shake it off.
But, squeeze
it. Powder.
Yeah. I'm sure it's ALFLA, it used to be called. And it was slightly, it got a slight tinge of orange in it. It wasn't actually white.
That's probably deliberately added to make it so they knew when it had been treated.
Yeah. And, because I actually used it when we were in training, one of our lads got a bite into his arm. Because that's, you know, accidents happened. And so all I did was, you opened your first aid kit, just tipped it over and bandaged it up, tied it up, just put his arm in a sling and put him into a jeep. And in fact, I never saw him again, because if you're in a car and moving forward, doing week by week training, as it was in those days, if anybody gets injured, gets behind, they end up in another one further back.
Mm.
It's like an assembly line, you come off like sausages at the end. I can remember the actual day, VJ, we had two big parties. We had one for VE Day and one for VJ Day. And we had such a bonfire and firework display
In Lawn Street?
In Lawn Street. It was opposite the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
There was a set of garages, wooden ones, and it was done far enough away from them. They did send the paintwork, I'll tell you now. But we burned a hole in the road.
Yes.
Right to the tarmac.
Yes, I've seen those in Leswell Lane, they had those as well.
Yeah, and also we had army thunder flashes. You know, the type that, you know, even just, if you had up today, you'd be put inside for that kind of noise. And we, I mean, my brother came in, come back around 47. But as the people were coming back from the different theatres of war, a lot of people, Mrs. Dukes was one, she was famous for doing cakes. Beautiful woman. Back, I went to her funeral 3 years ago, that's George's mum. And if a son or a father or a cousin or something came home on leave, everybody used to scrounge round to see what they got, and Mrs. Dukes used to end up with it to make a cake.
Okay.
Because she was the best at doing this sort of thing. She always used to call me Alfie Mole, always. And, soon I walked past that house, it was always Alfie Mole. And her and her son, George, not inseparable, but we went everywhere together. Food was very short. Some of us were sent into the fields from school to collect the harvests. Some farmers were better than others, like providing a snack at the right time, sort of business. But the food never seemed to get into Kidderminster, and mostly lorries were loaded and they turned right to Birmingham, which always used to seem to upset us because it was being produced locally. And you had to go on, if you went to the butchers on Station Woodbridge, on Station Hill, you were in a long queue waiting to get in there to get what little bit of meat you could get. And you knew that morning you spent 10 cows loading to a lorry going up to Birmingham. My father had the rabbit chute, him and his friends, around this area. They never shot them, they always netted them. Well, my brother married into the Hammond family, and Hammond used to be the editor of the Times in Kidderminster in those days, and they had friends and family in America, and they occasionally used to get a food parcel. Well, old man Lockwood, as his wife was, used to every Monday morning when you went into school, he'd please write a little bit about what you did over the weekend, and so and so, see? So I'd been invited to the Hammonds' for tea on Sunday, which I knew I'd get a good feed, see, of course, you know, and Alf would go, like, you know. And I went, and on the Monday, see, I wrote, I'd been with my father rabbiting, and I forget how many rabbits it was, probably 80 or 90 rabbits we'd taken up. It was between five of them, I mean, it wasn't just my family, I mean, it was between five families, and they had to sell most of them to pay for the cost of the licensing and the netting and keeping the fetters. And so I wrote that I'd been put down, and I'd, for tea, I'd had Scottish pancakes, and we had chicken out of a tin, and we'd had pollen apple and cream. Afterwards, well, we had a supply teacher for some reason from the place in Stankley Lane. Remember the teachers' college in Stankley Lane?
Oh, yes, yes.
We'd had one of those people that day.
Yes, okay. Trainee teacher.
Yeah, and called out, and I was berated for telling lies in my story. You know, in those days you didn't get John Scones and chicken.
Not normally, no.
And pineapple. And us with their baggy trousers, scruff, you know, hand-me-down shirts and this sort of thing. And I got into trouble. I was told to get the right lines and this sort of thing. She said, as I was coming out, Mum was bringing the accumulator around to the accumulator shop in opposite the school.
Yeah.
When I yelled across to my mum, and all my boss Joe's outside, and I said to her, she went, and he said the teacher said he'd been lying about what he'd had. He said, well, that's perfectly, what's he wrote? He said, well, that's what he wrote. Well, that's perfectly true. He said, in actual fact, he brought a drop stone home for me. And so, I mean, that was the sort of food situation.
They
couldn't believe that you would actually have a fruit.
Yeah. Just a one-off thing. Yeah.
And I think it happened about twice that I had food parcels from the States.
Yeah.
We used to get food from the American troops when you went up to British camp.
They would give you something.
Yeah, if you went past, have you got any sweets or something like that, and, you know, they travelled some sweets to you, or, I mean, one occasion I had a tin of meat thrown over the fence. Well, there was a big army tin, see, so, you know, it was a share out between them. All the troops were very generous.
Just before the phone went, you were talking about rabbit netting.
Yes.
You were talking about shooting, you said they rabbit netting. Had you finished then, or were you say more?
With rabbit netting, so you don't damage the animal.
Okay.
So, with shooting, you can damage...
And you get pellets.
You get pellets, but not only that, if you hit a bone, it splinters.
Okay.
And you get the splinter into the flesh.
Yes.
Okay. And people don't like biting into splintered bone. That's the reason you...
We used to... I remember eating rabbit a lot in the war.
But
you used to take the skins to stubblers,
that's it. Sixpence for the rabbit,
Sixpence or something.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they used to go every other week because they had a big, very big area to rabbit off. And some of the rabbit burrows were enormous.
What sort of area? Where was this?
It was from the Birmingham Road to Blakedown.
Yeah.
Right through onto the Worcester Road. We're told with
all the way across.
Yeah, for all this.
All that area, I know.
Except for the railway. They had their own rabbit catchers.
On the railway?
Yes. In fact, there was one up there yesterday.
Okay.
You could hear him with his gun going on the rail.
Oh, I didn't know they still did that.
Well, we don't know if it was a railway man, but he was...
Because
I have seen the top field here, the one next to the bridge. Between the bridge and Birmingham Road. I've seen a third of that hit by rabbits, because they were a plague.
Mm. Well, yes.
I mean, it was a good job we had the plague, because a lot of people would have gone hungry without those. I mean...
There wasn't a lot of meat, no.
I mean, if you had a rabbit, you'd ask it, well, when there was eight in our family, you know, doesn't make long to get through.
No, that's right, yeah. They weren't very big, really. It was chicken to me. I hadn't had chicken till I was a certain age.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about, I think that's done the rabbits, I think. School and air raids. Do you remember air raids in school?
Yes. Leech Street, the back of Leech Street, where the boiler rooms were underneath.
Yeah.
It was big arches.
Yeah.
And along with there was a set of four or five plane trees on a big step. And the brick wall to Leech Street itself, holding the back Leech Street itself from the playground. We used to stand along there and under the arches.
So you didn't have an air raid shelter?
We did have an air raid shelter, but it wasn't big enough to keep us all in.
Okay.
So those, the elder variety, which I was one, were sent
to the arches.
Lead against the, and it was very well disciplined. There was no hesitation when you were told to go, you went.
Do you remember going a lot?
No. I can only remember possibly three times.
Okay.
Because some of the raids here were weekends.
Yes.
I mean, you only had school 5 days, and as most of the raids were later in the day anyway, in the winter they started to come over earlier, and I believe that was because of the rivers actually around here. I'm sure they aimed for the rivers. They came over from
They used to use the Severn as a guide.
Yeah, and they sort of aimed for the river.
Well, could you see the reflections?
Yeah, you could see better in those days than you can see now. There was no light pollution.
Mm. And any moonlight would reflect the river.
Unless it was cloud, but even on the darkest starlit night, you could see the airplanes. You could see the outline of them going over. And when they got towards the Birmingham itself, the glow from the fires outlined them. We used to watch the firemen come back, because our firemen from here went out to help. And the state they came back in with sometimes was, they were asleep actually on the ladders of the fire engines.
Yeah, okay.
I mean...
It was hard work, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that tune of my wife's family, Walter, he was an auxiliary fireman. In fact, if you get down to the fire station, there's pictures of him hanging up around it, because we as a family collect them over the years. He was out to Whitley Court and that burned down.
Mm.
And he'd been on quite a few fires and because he was very good on roofs and ladders, because that was his job. He was a roofer.
Okay.
Yeah. And he, I've seen him come back a few times, very, you know, because he used to live on Prospect Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Where the Chinese restaurant thing is now.
Okay, just above where the...
Yes, it used to be a little alleyway, four or five houses.
Well, I don't remember it really now, but just below there, they used to, well, it still is Cranes.
Yeah.
But it used to be a little metal place, didn't it?
Actually, yes.
And they had a, not, you know, there's a word for it, not a cauldron, they used to have a big pot of melted metal.
That's
there.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
And they also had a factory, there was a factory in Lawn Street.
Was there? What did they do?
Now, I'm sure it was a weaving shed at one time.
Oh, there probably would be.
But I can remember it making sweets.
Oh. During the war?
Or just after the war.
After the war, yes. They wouldn't have the sugar in the war now.
No, I can't remember it too well, because it was the other end of the street. And I dealt mostly with the Coverton end of the street.
Yeah.
And because all my friends lived in that area.
Yeah.
I mean, I did know everybody at the other end of the street as well, but of course, then there was the transport problem at night, especially at night, if you were on your push bikes and you only had these little strip lots. Well, the Americans would you normally drive on the right-hand side of the road, and invariably there was a lot of them did the same over here. I mean, you know, you pick somebody up from one country, dump him in a place, and say, drive from here to there, and there's no signboards. Unless there's a military policeman pointed away, they have great difficulty, especially if they don't speak the same sort of English as you do. And they pronounce words different. I mean,
quite a lot, yeah.
We never knew whether the Black Bridge was called the Black Bridge because it was painted black, or whether it was the amount of accidents that took place under it.
It was all painted black, though.
Yeah, but I mean, as kids, we could never understand it.
Yeah.
And
it's no longer black, though, is it now? It's concrete,
now. Yeah. But, I mean, I've been there, because obviously when you go out riding on the bike, you've been rabbiting or something like that, and you're coming back, it's getting dark, because you do it late afternoon or early morning. You don't do it in the midday, because that's when the rabbits lie up in the afternoon, so this sort of thing you don't see. And then... Well, I mean, I've seen Queen Mary's. You know what a Queen Mary lorry looks like?
I can't remember.
Maybe girders at the back, these for airplanes in the middle. Wings up against the
side. I must have seen them then, yeah.
It's called Queen Mary's.
Yeah.
The big...
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
The only way they could get round these corners was to swing on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
But if there's already a convoy from an American division coming the other way,
yeah,
you get all sorts of accidents. Because Arthur Bay, as you know, was very well... used.
Oh yes, it was a big supply depot.
Yeah, so you could imagine, I mean there were lanes, they weren't roads like we know today. In fact, I've seen two lorries on the same lane that have just not been room to get past. Because about that happened to come with a tree was there, and one's had a backup, the other's had to go up, knock some of the edge down to get past.
Mm.
And let's be perfect, track vehicles aren't designed to go down, they're designed to
come.
You keep going, you know.
Right.
I mean,
they're not for manoeuvring, are they?
No, they slide very easily. And,
yeah.
I mean, when they took a load out of the Hartlebury area down onto the where is now the island by the viaduct, which was, and they caused havoc. Only about six of them came down the bank, and they just slid straight up. You know, there was no pretense at stopping. It wasn't really in the grass.
Mm.
That they stopped.
Mm.
We were fishing in the stream that day, that's how I know that went on.
In the stream at the bottom?
Yes, you know, but still there now.
Yeah. Well, I do remember, because I had an aunt who lived in Taunton.
Yes.
And we used to walk there.
Actually, Taunton Village.
Taunton Village, yes. He lived in the bungalow, just opposite where the Fuchsia Centre is now.
Yes.
But we used to walk past, I remember walking past these big roller defence concrete.
Concrete things. Blocks, yes.
Ready to roll over the road.
Yes.
Remember those days?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And there are some actually kept somewhere.
The Far Forest, they have some, yes.
As a memento.
Yes.
Those people go and look at them.
Yes, they have them in Far Forest. Yes, can I ask you about your dad in the ARP? I picked up what you said earlier. You said your dad was in the ARP. Do you remember much about what he did? What they did in Lawn Street?
Well, there was men who went out on patrol.
Yeah.
Every time every night they went out to make sure the curtains were drawn, there was no lights showing.
Yeah.
My dad was a bit idle, he used to make everybody else go. They were nearly all ex-servicemen. They were nearly all the old Worcesters.
Okay. And where were they based in Lawn Street?
Where the fish and chip shop is now.
Where the fish and chip shop was now, okay.
Well, you know Chester Tavern?
Yeah.
The pub, yeah. With the Bowling Green?
Yeah.
Well, right next to that alleyway between where the alleyway up into the Bowling Green is.
Yeah.
On the right-hand side of that was the ARP Wood Nut.
Oh, okay.
And it turned into
the fish and chip shop.
The fish and chip shop eventually. And Mags bought that one as well. I knew Arthur Mags, I knew the father, so I used to work with him. And the railway train was a home brew pub. There's a brewing shed on the side, yeah, it's still there now.
Is there? Oh, there's a water drinking in it.
Yeah, it's got a slightly sloping roof. It's a little bit tucked on the side.
Yeah.
And that's where his brew house was. Mm-hmm. It had an open window in those days,
mm.
And opened onto the front.
Mm.
But I think they bridged it up and they use it as part of the pub now.
Mm.
But that was a home brew. But that was one of the things everybody wanted to know who was brewing. You could, and if you were going past living in your papers, you could tell, because you could tell by the smell.
Yeah, there's quite a distinctive smell, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, and also they used to do second, what do they call it, small beer.
Yes, that's quite weak.
Yeah, well, everybody's water supply wasn't as good.
That's right.
As it should have been.
They couldn't drink water.
No, so they used to drink this small beer.
Including the children.
Yeah, I've had some, because they used to let me have a taste for a good end on my paper end. Not pretty often.
No.
Because, you used to say, you know, try this off. Everybody knew me as Alf. Everybody. All the local police. And everybody knew everybody else, as please you know. I got into trouble for pinching apples once. Hillgrove Crescent, the wall guarded.
Which crescent?
Hillgrove Crescent.
Hillgrove, yes.
Remember the big wall guarded?
I don't know.
There was a big wall guarded behind there. He grew peaches and
pears,
apples, all the best varieties, strawberries.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could have gone and knocked at the door,
because
my father did know him, and say, could I have a couple of apples? And he would have said, certainly, Alf, you carry on.
It's more exciting than
that. Yeah, but it's more exciting climbing the pine trees in there, walking along the road, helping yourself some business. But I got caught, of course, as you go, everybody's going to get caught, you know. And the constable said to me, I shall tell Fred, that was my dad's name, Fred. And so I went home and I told my mum. And I said, I had to give him back the apples as well. I had to go and apologise to the head gardener. And he gave me 3 evenings of washing pots. But even when the dad was doing the wardening, lads of 16 and 17 were as messengers. They were passing from the police station in town all around the area.
Mm.
My brother did a bit of it for a while. I was too young. But I did actually run around from one place to the other for them. Because if I was there, I won't take this out to so-and-so.
Yeah.
And, and because we knew the back streets.
Yeah. And the alleyways too.
Because of walking so much as we did, you could get there probably quicker than any car anyway.
Hmm.
We only had one vehicle in Lawn Street. Page had a vehicle, that was a fugitive man. But the only commercial vehicle that I know of was Jeffords, the wine and spirit merchant. He had an old battered van. Then just after the war, I went to work at Tubbs Bakery as a Saturday job. I used to do the coke ovens and clean the floor up and all this. Mm. But as I graduated, I was allowed to mix the dough and shovel.
Promotion.
Yeah, and make the mincemeat. That's a terrible job. Use the shovel. That's how much they used to make.
Oh,
big troughs, troughs.
Yeah.
You had to get all. Yeah, you used to get all the stones out.
Yeah.
And out of a sack of courage, you'd probably get a couple of kilos of stones, because you couldn't leave them, of course. But during the war, bread wasn't really available a lot. You only had what you were allowed.
It was rationed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, later on, it wasn't rationed early, but
rationed later. As we kept losing more and more ships, it became rationed.
Right.
And also, the flour had changed. It's like today, the flour we use today is nothing like the flour that we had. But the flour before that was even different to what they had during the latter end of the war.
Okay.
It came from it came a lot more from Canada rather than from the States.
So it's probably wheat. More than
yes.
corn or something.
Yes.
It's a different sort of
thing. Yeah. It wasn't, I didn't really know, but the Sheldons, Frank and who was the master bakers at Tubbs, used to live in Lawn Street. In fact, they made my wedding cake as a friend, not because they finished with the bakery then. And they used to work the alternate mornings early, because they used to bake nearly all day in those days. So the ovens, you didn't waste money bringing ovens up and down, which I thought was very crafty. But you could go at the end of a day and buy a stale loaf if you were lucky. Now, when my sister became old enough to go to work, she went and did their bookkeeping, and she very often got half a tray of cakes or something like that to take home because we couldn't sell them, you know, at the end of the day. But the ARP business was, if I was going to school like as I did, I used to go down Station Hill, Green Street, Dixon Street, up Castle Road, past the hospital, up St John's Avenue, into school that way. Because I used to go to
the house.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You could see the men still on the roofs. We've been on for a watch.
Okay. Yes.
A lot of people don't realise that these poor men were stuck up there.
They're all night. Yeah.
And
Well, yes. Right.
They were told if they one landed on the roof, they picked it up and chucked it over the side onto the road.
Yes, I've seen manuals telling them what to do.
Yeah, and I thought, well, you know.
Did you go to Harry Cheshire School after it had been bombed?
Yes, my sisters were there when it got bombed.
Okay.
Yeah, they were there when it was bombed.
So they'd have gone alternate mornings and afternoons.
Afternoons,
for a while.
Yeah,
they used to do that for a while.
Yes. And
they were full time by the time you got there.
Oh yes. I mean, you couldn't even see the scars; it was all been redone.
Yeah.
The only reason I know about it is because my elder
sisters
told me about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean that was still, and you'd see them on the way home, and if you stand on the top of Castle Road, by the cemetery now, especially on the right-hand side of the road, you could see most of the roofs in Kidderminster, the factories.
Yes, you could.
When it wasn't.
All the chimneys.
When the chimneys weren't belted out, or you know, because sometimes you couldn't even see that. You couldn't even see the. It was still in Cumberton Hill. You couldn't see Kidderminster.
No, it was very
hard.
Foggy.
Yeah, but I have actually stood there and watched them actually climbing up onto the roofs. And there used to be a man who used to go up on this. I'm sure it was on the fire station. There was a spotter. I'm sure there was somebody up there. I couldn't honestly swear that it's true.
No.
But I saw, it was always seemed, every time I keep to come past,
there seemed to be
somebody there.
Yeah, well, that had worked out the best vantage point, wouldn't they? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a water tower in Green Street. It's still there, isn't it, the big square?
What?
Yeah, it was at the top, there was a water tower. Yeah, all the way up his staircases to all the different floors, but at the very top was a water tower.
Where about are we talking then?
Green Street.
In Green Street. Which end? By the where the police station?
No, down the other end.
Oh, where Woodland and Grosvenor's were?
Used to be, yeah. There used to be a I think it's still there. I don't get in town so very often, but I think it's still there.
Which side of the road?
I think it's in Dixon Street now.
Yeah. Oh, Dixon Street, yeah.
I think it's Dixon Street. Yeah, I think it's Dixon Street. I think they've just renovated it.
Part of the CMCO building.
Old CMCO buildings, I think.
Oh, there is a big tower there, yes.
Yeah, that I think...
Part of the opposite, thing, right on the corner.
I think there's a water tower up at the top.
Oh, okay. I'll have a look.
I'm sure that's where they used to have another one. There was always somebody on the bridges at the viaduct.
Well, they'd be watching for damage on trains.
Yeah.
Well, also, they'd have a good view over it.
Yes, of course, they'd have a good view all over Kidderminster.
Yeah.
I can't remember any up the our end of the town, just the men going round, because they used to go round almost continuously round at night, especially towards the end of the war, because we didn't get many proper raids, in the sense that, you know, you get a few hundred airplanes coming.
Oh, that's right, there were individual planes.
Yes, there were individual planes, you used to sneak in.
Only about five or six times. Well.
Yes, and I mean, it wasn't great, but it tied up a lot of manpower.
Yes.
People having to be
around
looking for it.
And of course, there was so much munitions going on in Kidderminster.
Well,
if
they hit some of the woods around here, there wouldn't be a stick standing.
Yeah. No, but think about they were making all sorts of things in Brinton.
Yes, of course.
Can we go on to something else? Entertainment. Now, do you remember much about the entertainment? There were various things that they had holidays at home in parks and things, didn't they?
Yes, and
can you
We were very lucky, see, because Milton Hall Baptist Church had a complete gym. I mean, a full-scale sprung floor gym.
In the church?
At the back of the church.
Back of the church.
A big hall.
In the foyer.
And it had horizontal bars, parallel bars, vaulting boxes, pommel horses, fixed horizontal ladders, and loose rings.
Loose rings?
Rings.
Oh, rings. Oh, I know. Yes, I know.
And Tommy Rowlands and Mrs. Arnold, who was the caretaker in those days, the mother of Les Arnold, who runs the Mission Church at Far Forest.
Okay.
And he also writes magazines. Used to let us go in the inclement weather to play, because it being a church, they got a little heating allowance, so the back hall used to have one coke fire, and it was lost in the building, but never mind.
It took the chill off.
And we played in there for hours, and we were all in the clubs there. We had young people, the BBs, the GBs, so nearly every night of the week there was something going on for the young people. We had our own little music room. We also had a room, now I can't remember what the name's called, which like a billiard table with an end rounded off with mushrooms over the holes. And I can't remember for the life of me what remember what that's called.
A rounded table?
A rounded end table with mushrooms, like
a cover over the hole.
No, it'd be on the hole, so as if you didn't hit the ball correctly, yeah. You tapped it, it fell in the hole, and you couldn't use that hole anymore.
I can't think of it. I haven't read that, can I? So we're talking about entertainment. Did you go and do any parades?
Oh, yes. There was always the carnivals. In actual fact, Les Holloway was one of the first people after the war, that was his brother of my wife, yeah. To help put the carnival together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting, but we're thinking about in the war, really.
Yeah, but we had, fairly long, it was always music, not as you know.
Yeah.
So we always used to have a bit of a dance.
Yeah.
Or at the
in the church hall.
In the church hall. And also we had a side room for the young people. You used to dance in there. The usual table tennis is the pike. Then there was the Red Lion, the Lion, Florence, the Black Horse.
Yeah.
And there was Frank Freeman's.
Yeah.
And there was another one.
Did they have something in the old baths?
Yes,
baths.
They did. That was the first time I ever saw boxing at it.
Is it? Professional during
boxing.
The war?
It was either during the war or just after.
Okay.
And my sisters used to love dancing. And as they weren't allowed out on their own, I used to have to escort them to these sort of places. I used to dump them as soon as I got there, of course, but never mind. Then I used to escort them back home. They used to like me to escort them back home because they didn't like to carry a torch. Because if you had a torch in those days, that'd have a little slit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you probably did yourself.
Well, I don't remember.
Tried to walk through the streets in a pitch black night with a torch. It only shows you a little strip. You don't know whether it's having up in a long strip one way or sideways, and you miss the curves.
No, I don't remember those, because I was born in 1939, so I was born
Five, yeah.
So I didn't go out at night, really.
There was a snooker hall over the 50 shilling tailors,
yeah,
which we used to play at, and they used to allow us in a couple of days of the week, and on the way home from school, we could call in and play for a very little amount. It was nothing like what they charged the grown-ups.
No.
And we didn't go on the big new tables. We went on the side tables for practicing and everything. Then, of course, we all played darts. If you didn't go somewhere to play darts, you all had your own dartboard somewhere in the house.
Hmm.
We had two in our house, one on the wall of my bedroom and one on the outside. It was normally kept on the inside, but in good weather it was taken and put on the outside of the door of the coal. House, and we used to play darts then, and we used to play marbles. Now, as children, my mum was very good with children. I don't know if she ever found time to look after us, but she did. She used to draw the circles for the marbles, and we'd all be down on our hands and knees playing mollies. And in fact, I still got my tin of marbles.
Incredible.
My grandchildren still play with them. Well, see, when we had the big house in Long Street, see, it was a three-story house.
Yeah.
I used to get into trouble because every so often I'd tip the marbles at the top of my stairs down and they go down my stairs, bounce off the bathroom door, swing round the landing, down the other side, and we have a parakeet floor.
We came to the end of side A of the tape here. Side B continues.
Every month of it, it was the 8th Kidderminster Launch Street in them days, the first now.
Yeah.
And they still do it.
Boys?
Boys and girls.
Boys Brigade.
Okay. Yeah. And they still do, the first Sunday in every month. The man came from Birmingham to run it during the war, because all the young men from our church was in the army.
Yeah.
His name was Doug Winters, and he worked in Birmingham, and he travelled down on the bus after he finished work to run the BBs at the church, and there was a fair number of boys and girls involved. We never had any trouble with the police or guards parading along the roads like you do nowadays.
No, there wasn't much traffic, was there?
No, the only thing they didn't like you to do was parade when there was convoys going through, and very rarely you did go on through on a Sunday.
Mm.
Because even the army ships there on a Sunday.
So what did the parade consist of?
A band, columns of boys and girls. Then we go Lawn Street, off Bow Road, Cherry Orchard, Station Hill, back into Lawn Street and then go to church.
Okay. And this was your own band?
Yeah. Instead, they've still got one.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think the original bass drum is still in the drum, because we've still got a drum room at the church. And I think the original one is still there.
Mm.
All the colours for the brigades have all been kept. There's a row of them kept in the church. Because all the young men who went to war, you've seen their names up at the back of the church.
That's right.
There's a little plaque.
Lovely little plaque.
Yeah. And these are all members.
Yes.
They found that TJ was a marvellous correspondent. He would write to every boy, every woman that was away. In fact, he did it when I was in the army to me. So. He was a greatly respected man, TJ was, and used to call him Tommy behind his back, and he knew we used to call him Tommy. They'd been so well treated. We also had a tennis club. Now, us young ones could play. We used to have it Wednesdays and Saturdays morning. Now, we could play from 3 till 6 on the Wednesday. That's the younger ones.
Mm.
And the people who were at work then would come home and play from 6 till 9 or as long as the light suggested. And that was in Johnson's. That's where the flats are in Chesley Road now, on the left-hand side.
Oh, yes.
Well, that was there.
Yeah.
It had 2 hard courts and 1 grass court. And that would be, he let us have that as, and on Saturday, depending on whether he had a match himself with his friends, we could have it all day Saturday, but normally we only had it Saturday morning. But if he hadn't had nothing arranged, he'd say sort of, about, you know, we'd come out about dinner, you could carry on all day. And actual fact, he was the only, he bought us, and that's us, I mean the young people, some tennis rackets and balls. Because obviously we couldn't afford that sort of thing.
No, it was expensive.
So he arrived with this lot for us, and we used to leave him in the tennis changing rooms, and we had nothing to change into. All we used to do was change out of our boots and put our
pumps on. Tennis.
And so obviously all the young people, I'm talking young people, I'm talking those who've come out of the army, who's fought in Malta, the Burma campaign.
Yeah.
My brother went ashore in D-Day, so did some of the others, and so we're obviously in the RAF, down the front, or stations. It was a very good meeting place. I mean, it wasn't just church members, there was other, you know.
Other people there.
Other people, I mean, it was, I mean, there'd be anything up to 30 couples at any one time. And of course, we used to cycle a lot. Those of us had bikes.
Yeah. Well, yes, I used to cycle, didn't I?
No, I mean out to see things.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. As part of the church, they'd say, let's go down and look at Ludlow Castle. And as apples didn't know where Ludlow was.
That's a ride, yeah. that's up and down, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. But then they'd say, let's go round the sites of Artlebury. Now, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been round all the sites of Artlebury. It's a long ride.
Artlebury's a big village, really, yeah.
No, I mean, the sites, the actual sites of where this stuff was kept.
Oh, I see. Oh,
I mean, it goes out almost as far as Worcester.
Well, that was a big, where was it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
well, no, I've never been round there, but...
But one of these times you want to, because...
It's an industrial site now, isn't it?
Well, parts of it are, but there's still parts. It was put into a grain store. That's the one on the Droitwich Road, if you go from Mustard Green Island towards Droitwich, it's on the right-hand side.
Mm.
But if you go to the next turning right, and then just turning left to Harbour Bay, but almost opposite, there's another right turning. You'll find another side down there.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, and I think there are still some of the old bunkers and blockhouses around there, which should be kept, at least a picture should be kept of them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think when my generation dies out, there's not going to be many people about.
Can't remember anything about it, no?
No, and it won't mean a thing. It's no good saying to somebody that you came in from school and all you had was a piece of bread and a little slice of margarine on it for your tea, because they wouldn't believe you. My grandchildren says, you're telling fibs, Grandad. they do. I think that'd be well worth somebody having a look at the old records and taking photographs of the places. I mean, in a car, it wouldn't take men long to go around these days.
It's being able to stop, the problem.
Yeah, well, most of them are on lanes. They're not on the main routes at all. Yes, you
past go... Past the grain store.
That's it. You come to the next journey, which is a fork in the road, really. There's a little island in there. And if you go left, you go to Droitwich. If you turn right, then turn right again. You go down the back of another little building, tucked away. I mean, the bomb blast walls are still there at the main Artlebury site, because I worked there for some time.
Did you?
Mm. And the next one along the Droitwich Road, it's a big storage area now. One of the buildings still was racing car tires. How I know, I had to take a load of plastic bird that I'd made for the big storage farm.
Mm.
People came out of schedule and stuff that we were planned to send at a certain date in the year. They weren't ready for. You can't store that amount of stuff.
No.
So they had to arrange somewhere to be stored, and that's how I know.
Yeah.
Because I had to go and make sure it was placed down correctly on the floor.
Yeah, well, the Hartlebury IF site actually is a, I suppose, would be a topic in itself. I mean, they'd have a lot of records.
Somewhere should have a load of records for the...
There will be, yeah.
I mean, the opposite... I mean, I used to play cricket there when I was older, at the cricket ground. They had their own cricket ground, the sports club.
Well, it was a big organisation. A lot of people worked there. Yeah.
And there was a lot of rock people worked there.
Yeah,
my elder sister became the secretary of the squadron leader, eventually. But, I mean, the married quarters now are all private houses, but...
Yeah, they sold all that off, and the rest off.
But then when we were young, well, I mean, during the war, it was obviously, but after the war, it was still being run as a rough place.
It was for quite a while, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was playing cricket there, early 60s.
But it was still their main storage place, wasn't it?
Yeah. The vehicle park was quite big on that span there as well. I don't know how we got into these places, because we'd wander everywhere. I mean, I've come across things that, you know, hidden away in gulf corners.
Yes, I don't think security was that good, really.
No, not like it tightened up a bit when I went in the army.
Yeah.
I mean, there was emplacements around there all over the place. These blockhouses, there were slit trenches dug.
Oh, yeah.
Because we used to go in them. I don't suppose we ever were supposed to go in them.
No. They weren't manned all the time, were they? They were there in case they were needed.
So, I mean, there should be some sort of record of these places.
Well, I do know that the President of our society thinks we should take on a topic whereby we're looking at people's memories at the moment, but we look on the archaeology of what's left. I don't think there's much left in Kidderminster, but there could well be around, as you say.
I mean, most of the guns that came around here were all mobiles.
Well, I'm sure they were, yes, but they'd be concrete bases.
Spread bottoms.
Oh, I see.
We hadn't got anything as good as the Germans in regards to anti-aircraft stuff. You could hear those go around at night. They used to be changing position. They never could in the same place, because obviously if you're a pilot and you come across a barrage of guns in one position,
you move.
You say to you, when you get back, there's a great big block of guns.
Yeah, so they move them around.
Well, they move them around. You see them being moved.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It was Trimpley area. I know it was up Abdi Valley Way, and they went past on the Trimpley Road. Only about six guns. I mean, we hadn't got that many.
No, that's right. Small factories.
Yes, yeah. And most of them were girls driving the vehicles and the support stuff.
Yeah.
The Land Army was very good around here. We had a lot of Land Army around here.
Yes, I know, yes. We haven't had anything from Land Army. No one's talked about Land Army.
Well, Goffs, Vales, Talbots, they all had Land Girls.
Yes, they would all have them, yes. They would have done that.
Yeah. I can remember some working on Kidderminster Golf Course.
Can you?
Well, it's ploughed up in the wall for a week.
What's that? No, that's something else. That's something we didn't know.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I won't make a note, it's on there.
Well, that's known as the Kitty Gates, between Chester Road and...
Spennels.
Yeah, you can go straight through.
You could, we still can. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know where the white cottage is we can't see now, behind the, on the Spennels Valley Road?
Oh, yeah, yes, I know where the cottage is. Yes.
Well, both sides of the golf course there were ploughed.
Okay. Not the actual golf course itself, but...
Well, that is part of the golf course. It's a drawing fairway. It's a drawing fairway.
Oh, okay. They didn't plough the whole lot then, did they?
They couldn't plough the other side of the road because it's too steep.
Oh, okay. Flat areas.
There's a flat areas for ploughed.
Oh, wow. That is something.
And my friends of my father used to have the rabbits, because the rabbits used to create
havoc. Well, they would, yes.
They'd
be keen to get rid of those.
So that is another thing that went on. And you knew, of course, about the swimming pool with Spennels.
Yes.
Used to be Brinton's.
Used to be Brinton's, that's right.
Well, that was another big play.
Well, I lived close to where that.
Well, I used to dive off the diving board.
Yes, yes.
Well, that was another thing we played in all through the war. I learned to swim.
Was it open then during the war? Or was it?
It was never closed. They couldn't close it.
No, but it wasn't used, was it, as such, was it?
Well, we used to use it.
Yes, no, but it was just there.
Well, men and women used
did
it as well,
used
yeah.
Did they use it during the war still?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realise that. I thought it had closed before then.
No.
I know what you mean by closed and not closed. I mean, it was there.
The only thing there was a fence by was the changing rooms.
And they were closed off, were they?
Well, that's a big fancy word, that closed. You know, it's a cubicle with a sheet along the front with little cubicles, and you changed in there.
I only remember seeing it in the late 1940s when we cycled past once or twice. But
that's where I learned to swim.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was very good at swimming. It stood me in good stead, actually, because if you learn to cold water swim as against warm water swimming, the shock of when you go into something rather cold is nowhere near as great, because your body's already attuned, your mind's already said it's going to be cold, because I was an important boat squadron when I went into forces, so we was always in and out of water, clothed or unclothed, and it was very good for me, and all my family learned to swim there.
There are still some steps that are associated with that. It's really covered up, and that someone's uncovered them recently. It's mostly it's covered in wood.
Oh, the wood ones, that would be part of the weir.
And also there's a culvert as well. Yeah,
yeah, there's a culvert for the weir. Yes, yeah. That's it,
yeah. Of course, they've changed all that.
Yeah, they've altered. There was two streams in them days.
Yeah. But still is. There's the Hoot Brook, and there's the stream that comes into it.
But they've lapped them into each other, aren't they, now? Which it was...
Well, they merge a bit later on, but they...
Because I...
They don't actually merge until they get near Focus Dual Torch.
No, that's what it's saying about it, anyway. That's where most people in the Lawn Street, Leaf Street...
Learned
to swim.
That wasn't too far away.
Yeah, I mean... And it was a long swimming area. I mean, it came from the... And you know where the road is? Goes on to the Captain's. Not the first road, but where the second road is, where the playing field is.
Yes.
That was where the weirs were.
Yeah, that was the big pool, was there.
And then the pool went from there down to Focus, almost.
Yes.
That was a good swimming area.
Yes, right.
Well, I actually did it once 10 times. So I could really swim in those days. Nearly all summer we spent swimming. Then there was, of course, the fishing. Everybody who could went fishing.
In the same pool? Or was that in the Captain's pool?
We used to use both. And believe it or not, a lot of it was cooked.
What the fish you caught?
Yeah, we chucked the little ones back in, but if you happened to get a big one,
we went on
the table. Mm. There was Stackpole down there, with fish.
Yes, yeah.
There's the one on the Wolverhampton Road. There's Sunset Nurseries as well. That was another army place.
I don't know.
That was another army place. Wagon Lane.
No.
Well, if you go to Stourbridge.
Yeah. On Stourbridge Road.
On the main Stourbridge Road.
Yeah.
You go up the bank.
Yeah.
You've got Pettiford Lane and the other lane, what's it called? But the one on the right-hand side is Wagon Lane, which goes into Pettiford Lane. If you follow the Wagon Lane round the corner, on the left-hand side, the builders have been changed to a nursery. That was an army camp.
Oh, okay.
If you go Axburgh Lane, that's the word of the
Axburgh people. Lane, oh, I know.
You go up Axburgh Lane.
Yeah, that's off the Wolverhampton Road, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, between the Wolverhampton and the Fairbridge Road.
Yeah, but there's a sign.
Yes.
I've never been there, but
If you go up there, and you go up to the end of the wood,
yeah.
In there was almost a virtual where there used to be a camp there, and all that edge rose down there were all for the troops. That was another big area. The buildings, I still think, are there. They've been converted to chalets, I think, for people. There's a club of some description there. I think they've all been sold and turned into little chalets and this sort of thing for a park home. But you'll find, if you look at the nurseries, I think you'll find they've still got the same asbestos roofs up.
Oh, okay, I'll go and have a look at that.
I think it was three buildings. I'm sure it was three buildings.
Nurseries?
What's
the nurseries and was the army camp?
It was the army camp, yes.
Americans,
presumably? No, they were English, they were.
Okay.
Well, all the vehicles and things around there were English. And the soldiers I saw were English. But of course it could change overnight with the army doing that.
Of course it can.
One day, they used to be dumb soldiers on you. And because my brother had gone off to war, he got a spare bedroom. And he used to come and knock at the door, he got two men for you.
Oh, they used to billet people, yeah.
Yeah, and you'd say, yeah, all of it, because you couldn't say no.
Yeah.
And the refugees, I can remember them coming.
Refugees as opposed to evacuees?
Well, evacuees.
Evacuees.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went to Lee Street School, presumably, didn't they?
Somewhere. Yeah, and they were dumped into the people's houses in Lord Street, yes. Lee Street.
Yeah, well, all over.
Now, I can remember them coming.
And where did they come from, Lee Street? Do you remember?
I'm sure most of it was Birmingham area.
Smethwick, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
There was an agreement before the war between Smethwick and Kidderminster. Well, a lot of Smethwick children were going to be sent to Kidderminster. Yeah. A lot came, yes.
And they came by train.
Yeah.
And they came up the slope of Kidderminster Station in great crocodiles. And everybody obviously been told where they're going to take the people, and there was people shouting them where the places was. And we were amazed as kids, ourselves, you know, because they were our age, and well, some were even younger.
Mm.
And there was one woman came with a baby, and it was the first time we'd ever seen a baby's gas mask. And that was it. That was under the baby was in the pram,
yes.
And that was underneath.
That's right, yeah, I've seen one, yes.
And that was the first time, because each.
Yeah.
I asked my mother.
I've seen one recently, I've got a photograph of one.
I asked my mother what it was.
Yes.
And she said for putting the baby in when there's an attack.
Yeah. And I was in one at one time, I don't remember it, of course.
My
sister tells me I was in one of those, yeah.
You can't remember having your gas mask.
I don't remember having a gas mask. I remember going down to I remember walking down Worcester Street with my Mickey Mouse gas mask. And coming back with a bigger one.
That's it.
I remember walking back up again. And I've no idea where I went, but I have been told since I used to change them in Park Mill, so I guess that's where I was going. Yeah.
But I can remember doing lessons in them.
Can you?
Yes. You'd all be told to put your gas mask on.
They used to test them, yes.
And you'd be an hour through a lesson. And by the time you'd had them on an hour, you were soaking with sweat.
Sweating, yeah.
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 Well, I can remember doing that.
Oh, I don't remember doing that, but... Because I didn't start school in 1944 and the bomb raids had finished by then,
yeah.
I know they had doodlebugs over the London area, but they sent some more evacuees out then. But that was before, I don't remember that.
But I can remember all the big events of the war.
So how long were the evacuees there at your school? Do you remember? Not very long.
Not very long.
They went back again, didn't they?
They went back again.
Because they came...
They came once before it all started.
Yes.
Now, a lot of them went back,
yeah.
And then when the raid started, they brought them back again. But in Lawn Street, we had one lady from London who came up with her son. Her husband was in the Guards.
Mm.
They came up and started the whole war. He went back, he came to our school. We also had a Spanish evacuee, went to Alicester School.
From where? Oh, you're not from Spain, but I mean...
His father fought on the wrong side.
In the Spanish Civil War?
Oh, yes.
And so he came to Britain.
No, I don't think he came to Britain, I think he was kicked out of Spain.
Well, yeah.
Put it that way.
Well, he would have been shot if he'd stayed, yeah.
Yes, and obviously his family must have been wealthy, because he'd had servants and all this sort of thing. And it was quite a come down to suddenly come to a school like Happy Cheshire, when we were all rough and ready. You know, we didn't have airs and graces, unfortunately. I think he found it hard to cope. And he didn't speak English, so obviously it's his first language.
That's right, it's a difficult thing.
We had some from somewhere else, so they weren't here long. I'm sure it must have been from the London area.
Probably in 1944 then, when the flying bombs and the rockets were coming over, because that's when they did...
They did a lot out.
Yeah. I know, I've looked at some records for St George's Infant School, and they had some people up from London
when the
flying bombs started.
Yeah, well...
Yeah. So it's probably the same time.
It's probably the same people as well, because we all mix with each other.
That's right.
St George's, Lee Street, and all these sort of things. Leswell, we all played together. I mean, you know, we might have gone to different schools, but we could shake hands with each other, from one house to the other.
Yeah.
I mean, we were very proud. We had a bathroom in our house.
Yeah, we didn't.
No, most people had a tin bath.
That's right.
And so we used to share the bath with some of the neighbours. Say, here, I'm Mrs. Bond with a bucket of coke, and might you have a bath Friday night? It helped to keep our house warm, it helped to keep warm the water.
And warm the water as well.
Because we had a crude hot water system, which most people didn't have.
Okay, that in itself is interesting, because we're interested in how war affected life in Kidderminster. So
we had a black line painted on our bath, how full we could put it in.
Oh, that's wonderful, yes. And the fact that you were trading coal,
And also, I mean, nowadays you get into trouble for it, but, you know, all ages, all groups, in the bath, and the more they're in the bath, the higher the water came. So, I mean, you know, every so often, Mother used to make us go down to the baths in Castle Road.
Yeah.
Because they used to use an antiseptic in their water.
Yes, the chlorine.
And because of the nip situation between children,
yeah.
And it isn't as bad then as it is today. It was nowhere near as bad. Today is terrible, because there's thousands of people got it, and they don't know how to get rid of them. And we used to go down there and used to scrub each other with this carbolic soap. The carbolic soap used to make your eyes run.
Yeah, it was strong, wasn't it? Yeah. The smell.
But you could have nearly an hour in the bath, something you couldn't do at home, because well, there was 8 of us in our house.
Mm.
The water was only heated one day a week, unless Mother was cooking.
Yeah. On You're talking about, because there were baths there as well, weren't there?
Yeah, I mean the baths itself.
Not the swimming pool, you mean?
No, the baths.
The baths, there were baths there as well, weren't there?
Yes.
I vaguely remember seeing those, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. And if you were going swimming from school there, depending which part of the town you came from, you had to have a bath first. I know it sounds terrible, but unfortunately in those days, cleanliness was not nearer to God, as they used to say. It's whether you could afford it.
That's right, yeah. And there were quite a few very poor areas in Kent.
Yeah.
And very,
I mean,
quite squalid accommodation.
Yeah, I mean, slums is the word.
That's right,
It is, and Broad Street, and down there.
Yeah.
I had friends who lived down there. In actual fact, I got into trouble once. One of my elderly brothers or sister left their sandwich on the table when they went to work. So when I went to school, there was this piece wrapped up. Mother said, put that in your pocket and have it at break time. So I was sat there and I was eating my little sandwich. One of my friends says, what you got there? I said, a sandwich. He says, I didn't even get any breakfast this morning. Well, I said, you'd have half. And I gave him half, you know, his children will. Wouldn't be known to me, because I had to go and deliver my papers. I used to collect them on the way home from school, go out and deliver my papers. This young lad had met his mother, and his mother used to clean the houses on the big road, come to the Park Road, and she met my mother and said, oh, thank you, son, for giving my lad a piece. Well, when I walked in, giving your food away. You know, kids would, I mean, you know.
The chair, yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't really understand the problems that was
with food.
No, I mean, as the war went on, we did.
Well, you got older as well. Yeah,
yeah, and also, because you were all digging allotments.
Yeah.
We had allotments at school that we had to keep dug. You used to get a meal, obviously cooked meal at lunchtime, which was the really good meal of the day. Yeah. In fact, I had it sussed out, because I didn't like sago. Now, I could not get on with sago at all. And one of the girls used to love it. We used to sit on our table. Because occasionally we used to mix for meals.
Yeah.
And she used to love it. So she used to give me, when it was rice pudding day, I had her rice pudding. When it was sago day, she had my sago. So, and we used to get it there. We used to make a jam tart at our Cheshire. And take a tray of jam tart and used to slice them up.
Yeah, I remember that.
And when you used to go out to play, they'd give you a slice.
Oh, no, I remember that. We used to have it with custard. But that was after the war.
Yeah. No, this was if they had anything left over.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they never had any food left over. I mean, your potatoes, peas, or whatever you had, that all went.
Mm.
I mean, the pig farmers didn't get much during the war. They learned a lot after the war, they got a lot more. But during the war, they had very little put in the dustbins. Because if you didn't like it, somebody else did.
Mm.
That was the first place I ever had a gingerbread man. I don't know why I got it. I was a prefect at the time. That might have helped. And I was given this gingerbread man as I was walking past the canteen, going out to supervise the flight. So that was an unusual event, that was.
The one thing I don't think I picked up yet. How old was you when the war started?
I was born in 34.
You were born in 34. You may have said this at the beginning.
Yeah, October the 6th, 34.
I grew up, everything seemed natural to me.
Yes.
There was no change. It was just normal.
Planes
going overhead and things.
Yeah, the first big raid that really set Birmingham alight, and it was well into the war, and I was standing at my window up in the attic, and I could remember yelling down to my mother, because I was up three stories, see, my mother was in the kitchen down below, and you have to have quite a voice to reach down. And I could remember screaming down to her that Birmingham was burning, and she came up, and you could see the concussion waves in the flames as the bombers went over, as the bombs went down.
Yeah. They were terrible times.
Yeah. And I can remember saying to him, tell me, just be grateful it's not you underneath that.
That's fine, yeah.
And then when Coventry was clobbered, because that was a disaster, that was. Absolute disaster. We never hit a bomber. Never even wounded one.
All the way through the early night bombing.
They didn't hardly hit anything.
They didn't, they developed a
box system before it.
The aircraft developed some form of knife fighting system.
Oh, yes.
And that was when they first started to...
get the fetch them down.
But they had nearly 12 months when...
just had a free
Germans
range.
Had free range.
Yeah.
That's recorded, that's in...
I can't remember the date of the Coventry raid.
14th of...
September.
November.
It wasn't in the bad weather.
Ernie topped this down yesterday. There's a lady called Monica Hill who I spoke to, and she told me about that. It was her father's birthday on the night they bombed Coventry.
Yeah. And
I started looking at it. That's why I think it was 14th of November
19. I know it was a dark. It was a dark night.
I think
it was a dark night.
1940.
We heard them go over because we had cellars made into shelters.
Yeah.
But we were lucky. We had two cellars. It was a big house.
Yeah. Two.
Yeah. And. One part was used as a cellar and the other was a food store. I used to stand out in the street and listen because the girls didn't like to go to sleep when they thought there was something going. And I used to listen and say, I was going past us, I'm out back up to bed. I used to go upstairs. So you used to get blasted in it. I mean, if they ever changed the engine noise, someone was in a heck of a state. But you could have, I mean, when I came here, one of the men used to work for me. Came on one Saturday, said, I'll help you put your greenhouse up. So we were inside the greenhouse. And for a few seconds, my heart stopped. A Lancaster bomber went over with a Hurricane on his left
foot
and a Spitfire on his right. And my heart actually stopped. I'm sure it did. Andrew said to me, what's up? He said, you've gone white. I said, I've just had a bad flashback to the war. He said, was it that bad? I said, in places, it was terrible. But, I mean, just that one noise, after like that, hundreds of a second.
Yes, just almost the same, yes. Although the German bombers sounded different to ours, didn't they?
Yes, actually, you could tell the difference. You could tell the difference, but when you suddenly get a sound which is associated
with that time
yeah, everything floats back.
Yeah. I can remember Spitfire, well, Hurricanes, I don't know what it was flying over Kidderminster.
I mean, I know the first time I ever used guns in the army. When I got onto the, I was all right with the rifles, friends, and light machine guns. When you went on to the heavier armour, the sounds, I mean, when they were doing these little raids, they'd send up fighters after them round here, and they'd be chasing each other around the skies. I think they could have killed more with friendly fire than they did ever in the shot there. Because you'd all...
Well, that lady in Lee Street was friendly.
Yes,
new word.
But, I mean, there was a lot of spent ammunition came down in places you would never have expected it.
It has to come down somewhere, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you use heavy machine gun, a mile and a half target range, anything up to 2.5 miles before it hits deck. If you want shooting something, you're shooting up in there. 2.5 miles, you can spray it down. There's one idiot in Iraq killed himself the other week. They were fired up in the air, celebrated. And he shot himself. Somebody close to him did.
Yeah.
But you only saw this occasionally.
It must have happened about it.
Well, we got the
it was all about the stuff that was going up.
Yeah, we had all the airports right here, so of course you'd listen to the bombers going back home, have a go at them. And earlier, when they first started going, the kids in the street used to cheer them on, sort of business. But after a few nights, look, it got monotonous. Like, it was surprising how many airplanes went over this area. And you'd see the ferry girls from Arthurbury, the girls that used to do the
ferrying
the aircraft from Castle Brom.
Castle Brom, they made the Spitfires, yeah.
Because a friend of mine actually was down in Hampshire, and he said the first time that these people came, he said this plane dropped down onto the field. He said it was only an emergency field, and this little girl got out. Came home, and everybody was looking for the pilot sort of business.
Well, you've got some telephone calls to make, haven't you?
Oh, yes, these things happen.
Yeah. Have we exhausted your stuff?